Last week, we talked about what it looks like to be bound together in love, and we talked about how one of the ways that we do that is through loving conversations with one another and speaking the truth in love and not allowing other, like, news media and stuff like that to tell us how to think about the people that are around us. And a lot of that has to do with keeping peace. And so today, I want to talk about what it means to be a peacemaker. A peacemaker. Not just how to keep the peace, but how to actually make peace. So turn with me, if you will, to Colossians 3, 14 through 15. Love that. Y'all okay if I just teach for a little bit this morning? This was our key text from last week, and this is going to be just going to kind of come in and out of this scripture today as well. It says in Colossians 3, 14 through 15, "Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony." We talked about that last week. And then let's look at verse 15. This is where we're really going to focus today. "And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace." Holy Spirit, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the breath. You are the ruach. You are the pneuma. So we ask you to breathe on us today. Breathe on your word today, that it would come alive on the inside of us, and that we would not just be hearers of the word, but we would be doers. In Jesus' name, amen. So according to this scripture, we're called to live in peace. It's not just an option, it is a calling. You are called to live in peace. And you are called to be a peacemaker. So living in peace, there's no need for peace if there's not other people. There's no need for peace if there's not other people. I can live, you know, I can live in peace by myself. Because there's no one there to oppose my point of view. There's no one there to be at war with me about anything. If I was just like held up on a beach in Hawaii by myself, ain't nobody to keep the peace with. So peace and peacemaking are contingent on the fact that there are other people. It's contingent on that fact. Because even after you get saved, you know, the Bible says that when we get saved, that God made peace between man and himself. And so even when we live at peace with God, that's an easier thing to do. You know, it's easier to just sit in his presence and like, man, if we could have just had a moment like this morning on repeat to just live in that moment where God is pouring out his love on us and we're pouring out our love on God. That's the reason why there's so many people in the church that believe that all we need is Jesus and ourselves and nobody else. Because those moments are so transformative and beautiful and amazing. And I love those moments because it truly expresses the peace that exists between me and my Father. And so it's amazing, but I don't have to fight for that peace. Jesus won the battle for that peace on the cross. He said, "It is finished." He abolished, he wiped out, he took away every single thing that kept me from being at peace with him. But he did that not just so that I could keep that peace to myself, but so that I could share that peace with the world around me. So that I could experience that peace in the context of community. So, but one of the issues that we experience in our lives, whether that be as us as Americans or us just as people in general, is that we have a convoluted version of peace. Or we have a mixed idea of what peace is, because there's the peace that the Bible talks about and then there's the peace that the world talks about. Now, the peace that the world talks about can contain fractions of the peace that we receive in Christ, but it never, there's not a single world system that can carry out the totality of the peace that we receive from Jesus. So there are bodies and portions of peace that can be won by the kingdom in the earth, but the kingdom is the only thing that brings true, unadulterated peace. And so what we have to do is we have to separate for ourselves in our minds and in our hearts what peace is and what peace isn't. Through a biblical lens and context. So I want to spend some time on that this morning. First thing that peace is not, is peace is not dependent on things of this world. It says in John 14:27 in the Amplified, it says, "Peace I leave you, my perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give." Not as the world gives. "Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge." So there's an interesting tension in that scripture there, right? Because the peace that it's talking about there is not just a peace that I can win on my own through controlling the outcomes in my life so that I never have difficulty. The peace that it's talking about here is a peace that does not come and go, nor is controlled by circumstances in this life. So the peace of God that Jesus is talking about here is it's a fixed peace. He says, "I don't give you peace as the world gives you peace," because as the world gives peace, that means that it can be swayed back and forth by different things. Because if my peace is controlled by worldly circumstances, then my peace then is dependent upon my economic status, or my peace is controlled by how well things are going in my family or at work or in my community and in my friend group, or how well things are going on Capitol Hill, or how well things are going on the news, or how well things are going in life in general. If my peace was as the world gives peace, then I'd have to wait for good news from the world. But because I have the gospel of peace, I have the good news of God's kingdom, my peace is unshakable. So come heaven or come hell, come high water or low water, come times of prosperity or times of lack, my peace remains the same. So that's the first thing. Peace is not dependent on worldly circumstances. So then that leads us into this juxtaposition of what peace is. Peace is from God. It says in Philippians 1:2, and you can find this greeting over and over again, I believe in all 13 books that Paul wrote, and even Peter and James and everybody in the early church had this same greeting for one another. In the ESV, Philippians 1:2 says, "Grace to you and peace from God." Grace to you and peace, not from the world, from God. The more we look for peace in places of the world, the more we'll be unsatisfied by the peace that the world gives us. Because it's fractured. It's only portions of the peace that God wants to bring. And so when I rely totally on the peace of God, I'm not shaken. I'm not movable. Anything that can happen happens, and I remain the same. Another thing that peace is peace is not simply the absence of war, conflict, or difficulty. It says in John 16:33, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, for I have overcome the world." He says, I have said these things to you that my peace may be in you. And then by the world's standards, he says a very conflicting thing in the next sentence. He says, in this world you will have troubles. But he just said that we'll have his peace. And so what does that mean? Is that peace is not the absence of war. It can be, but it's not always. Peace can, you can have peace in the middle of war. You can have peace in the middle of conflict. You can have peace in the middle of difficulty. Because that's the kind of peace that God has given us. Peace is the presence of physical, spiritual, and soulful wholeness. Peace is the presence of spiritual, physical, and soulful wholeness. How do we know that? Well, the Hebrew word shalom, which is the word for peace, and the Greek word, which is eirene, which is that same, it's the same Greek word there. I mean, the Greek and the Hebrew, they have the same meaning. The significance is wholeness, health, security, well-being, and salvation. So that's not just the absence of war or the absence of something. It's the presence of the wholeness of God. Ha. So shalom, which is the Hebrew word for peace, shalom, it's not just that you're keeping war at bay or you're keeping things at bay. It's to say that you are prosperous and totally whole no matter what's going on around the outside of you. Actually, so one of the definitions for shalom is basically this picture of a wall that doesn't have a single crack in it. That there's nothing that's taken out of place, that there's nothing, that everything that's supposed to be there is supposed to be there. So again, it's not the absence of anything, it's the presence of something. It's the presence of God. It's the presence. Why? Because it says in the Bible, I'm getting off my notes. It says in the Bible that he is our peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And so peace is the presence of God himself in our lives. And so whenever you take that into account and you put it up against a scripture like 1 Corinthians 1 where it says that, did you not know that you are the temple of God? That means that the Prince of Peace abides on the inside of you. And so no matter what's going on outside of you, Prince of Peace is on the inside of you. Or even to go beyond that, Jesus said to his disciples that the kingdom was within them. And so kingdom government is on the inside of you. And God's kingdom is a kingdom of peace. It says in the Bible that of his peace there will be no end. You cannot quench the peace of God. You can't stop it. You can't put anything in the way of it. You can't have the wrong political party in office and stop it. You can't have the right one in there and stop it. You can't have $1 million in your bank account or negative $36 in your bank account and stop it. The peace of God is the peace of God, and it is not dependent on your life circumstances. It is dependent on the presence of Jesus living on the inside of you. You understand, this is why in Colossians 3:15 it says, let the peace that is from God rule your heart. So what does that mean? It's let. Okay, so if someone's at my door and they're knocking, if I don't open the door, they're still on the outside of the house. My opening the door doesn't make them exist. So, the peace of God doesn't exist because you feel it or because you let it in. It exists because it exists, and you can tap into it or you won't tap into it. That's our decision. So we can let the peace that is from Christ rule our lives, or we can continue to let the peace of God stay outside. We can open the door, or we can open up our hearts and our minds to understand the reality that is within us, and we can access the peace of God that is within us, or we can never tap into the power that is His peace dwelling on the inside of us. It is in you whether you like it or not. But you must let the peace of God rule. Let it rule. Surrender to it. Give its rightful place to in your life. This is good stuff right here. Another thing that peace is not. Is peace is not individualistic. Colossians 3:15b says, since as members of one body you were called to peace. As many members of one body, we were called to peace. So it's not this thing where my peace is just meant to be kept to myself. Peace is not something that I just come in and I got to, Pastor, tell me how, I need to know how to get my peace so I can walk in my peace and so that my peace can be my peace. I want to understand the peace that is within me, not so that it can be kept, but so that I can share it. What did we talk about in the offering? For God so loved the world, He gave. God, we so have peace that we may give our peace. Your peace is something that can be imparted to other people. And one of the saddest things about this is I believe that the church is one of the most anxious presence in America right now. Instead of coming into our buildings and watching our live streams and being a part of our community and feeling peace, they feel contention. Instead of looking at the church and seeing settled waters, they see the tumultuous waves of arguing and backbiting and complaining and fighting for things that aren't really that important. Or rather, like we talked about last week, arguing over the details of it. Thinking that my perspective on the heart of God is more important than your perspective on the heart of God. So now instead of fighting together against the enemy, we fight against one another, and then we're not even effective. And so we continue to see the power of abortion and racism and homosexuality and all of those different things conquering America. Why? Because we put our stake in one part of the ground when all of that is a part of God's heart, and we are called to walk in peace with one another so that we can then speak peace to the storms that are over our nation. And again, that's not contingent on my vote. That is contingent on whether or not I am imparting my peace. We've got to make the decision that we can impart something more powerful than engaging only with a worldly system. That I bring kingdom everywhere I go. Kingdom is not just happening in this room. You go out and 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 all of you go out into the world bringing kingdom with you. And so then if his government is a government of peace, then it doesn't, the world doesn't determine whether or not you have the ability to impart your peace. We make the decision, so we make the decision that we will let the peace of God rule in our lives, and then we have to make the decision that we will let the peace of God out from the inside of us to the world around us. Could you prove that to me in Scripture, Pastor? Absolutely, I can. I'm going to skip down, for those of you who are doing my notes, I'm going to skip over one and go back to it, but this one is, peace is to be shared. Luke 10:5 says, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. Jesus commands his disciples to impart his peace. What are we imparting in our nation? What are we imparting on Facebook? What are we imparting on Parler? What are we imparting on Twitter? What are we imparting on Instagram? What are we imparting on YouTube? What are we imparting in our comment section? What are we imparting in our house? What are we imparting in this church? What are we imparting in our small groups? What are we imparting in our office whenever someone comes in to talk to us about their boss? What are we imparting whenever that friend calls us to talk about the conflict they're having with the other friend? What are we imparting whenever we're sitting around with our other guy friends and we're talking about our wives? What are we imparting whenever we're with our girlfriends and we're talking about our husbands? What are we imparting whenever we're talking to our children about their father or mother? What are we imparting? What are we imparting? We've got to impart peace. So when Jesus stands up in the storm and speaks peace, he's imparting something that's already on the inside of him. So Jesus doesn't conjure up a bunch of peace and a little bit of love and a little bit of hope and a little bit of faith and no, he's already got it. And so he gives what already belongs to him. And that's why so often Jesus said, my peace I give you. And we have to walk in that reality, realizing that one of the fruits of the Spirit, when you come into my house and you see oranges on the table, they're not there so I can hide them and keep them to myself. That fruit is so that I can share it with other people. So the fruit of the Spirit is to be shared with others. And one of the fruit of the Spirit is peace. So I can share my fruit with other people. I share the peace of God with other people. You are not just a pew warmer here to get a message to make you feel better and so that you can try and make it through the week so that you can come and hear another message that makes you feel better. No, you have been brought into this place. You are watching us online, not so that you can be a spectator, but so that you can be fully equipped for every good work so that you can learn how to not keep the peace of God to yourself or keep your faith to yourself or keep your hope to yourself. But we give away what has been given. Freely we have received, freely we give away. We're talking about a lot of other things, but we're focused on peace right now. Give your peace away. Share your peace with others. Be a peacemaker. Peace is to be maintained within the context of community. Ephesians 4:3 in the NIV says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We protect our unity through the bond of peace. That means we have to release our peace not just into the world, but to our brothers and sisters in the faith. Sometimes we're more understanding of the world than we are of one another. And sometimes we're more ready to release peace to the world than we are to one another. Why? Because we know one another. We're familiar with one another. And so, what am I doing with that familiarity? Am I allowing myself to see you the way that God sees you, as someone that's in process? And so therefore, I can be at peace with you because we're both in process together. We're both, like this is the problem, is that we forget that people might not be working on the exact same thing that I'm working on. But somebody might be fighting a battle that I've already conquered. But for some reason, instead of having empathy and compassion on somebody that's fighting a battle that I've already conquered, I somehow think that they're less than. How sad is that in the body of Christ? And it's like people walk around and it's like, well, I've overcome pornography, and so if you're still struggling with pornography, how dare you? Uh-oh. And so I don't make allowance for your faults, and I don't release my peace and say, peace be with you as you walk that path and as I walk that path with you. Jesus didn't need to speak to the storm for himself. He spoke to it for others. He spoke peace over a storm that was bothering someone else. Can we start to speak peace over the storms that might not be bothering us? And begin to see that what my brother and what my sister is struggling through is not something that I can look at them and say, well, you should just get down in the boat and go to sleep with me. If you just had my revelation, if you just knew what I was going through, meanwhile, your storm is brewing over somewhere else. Might not be the same place, might not be the same thing, but we all got storms. And we need each other, that whenever we find ourselves in a moment of fear, that we can find the brother or sister that is sleeping through that storm and say, hey, could you get up and release the peace that you found in this storm over my storm so that I can make it to the other side with you? Instead of, sadly, in the church, we throw people overboard. And we're all supposed to be crossing over to the other side. We get annoyed. We say, you're messing up my sleep, and so I'm going to kick you off the boat so I can make it to the other side. No, you got to get up from your sleep and realize that your brother and sister in the faith is going through something, and you release your peace into their life so that they can also conquer that thing that you may have already conquered. That one was for free. That was the Holy Spirit. I don't have that in my notes. I'm not that smart. Yeah, my mama just said, that's so great for parents. Yeah. How sad is it that we, you know, parents, we'll go over to one another's homes and we'll judge the way somebody's raising their child? Can I give you a cautionary tale really quick? Every person that I know that judged my mother and my father for how wild and crazy I was, every single, I am telling this in complete honesty, every person that I know of that judged my mother and my father, their parents, their children are no longer serving the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm just saying that we've got to be really careful. We've got to be really careful. Because it's so easy. It's so easy to look at other parents and say, oh man, spare the rod, spoil the child. But you don't know what they've been going through at 3 a.m. with that kid that's wild, or that kid that just doesn't want to do this or that. We've all got our own battles. So how amazing would it be if another mother walked over to another mama and said, it's going to be okay, peace. That one was for free from my mom, because that wasn't in my notes either. We've got to release our peace. And the reason, and we've got to understand all of these things that are true about peace, because we can't walk people down paths that we've never walked down. And so we're called to be peacemakers, but how are we supposed to make peace in the world when we haven't even made peace amongst ourselves here in the family of God? And so we've got to focus on making peace amongst ourselves so that we can then carry that peace to everyone around us. And here's why peacemaking causes our relationship with God as our Father to be evident to others. So there's a lot of things that show who the disciples of Jesus are or who Jesus is. You know, John 17, I think it was John 13 or 14 where it says, the world will know that you are my disciples by your love, right? And then also in John 17, Jesus says that when you are one, that the world will know that I was sent by the Father. Well, look at what it says in Matthew 5:9 in the New King James Version. It says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Raise your hand if you're a child of God in this place. Amen. So it's really easy. Y'all fell for it. Y'all ready for this? It's really easy to call ourselves the children of God, but this says that we will be called, not by ourselves, but by others, that we are children of God. So when I, how many people are walking around because I'm a child of God and the world's like, no, they ain't. We can call ourselves the children of God all day, but whenever we walk out our calling as peacemakers, the world will call us children of God. The world will call us children of God. The world will look at us and say, there is something different. There is something about them that is not the same as it is about me. There is something inside of their heart. There is something strange about them that I want in my life. They must be, that seems like the only, that the peace that can only come from God. I want my peace to make people hunger. I want the peace that I make with other people to cause people to say, I want what you have. And when we walk in the way of Jesus, that is what happens. Whenever we just read our Bibles to get mine, I'm not trying to be mean. Please understand. I'm not trying to be condemning at all. But whenever we live in an individualistic gospel and all we read the Bible just to see what we can get instead of see how we're supposed to live, that's when the world can't tell us apart from themselves. When I begin to walk in the reality, I wish I had my real Bible. When I walk in the reality of my Bible, when I walk in the way of Jesus, when I carry out the things of God in this earth, it makes people see the difference between me and them. You want to talk about apologetics? How to win an argument with somebody else? Live like Jesus lived. We can understand all of the things that are wrong about Hinduism and Mormonism, Islamic thoughts and beliefs and stuff, but if we have not love, if we have not peace, we are a clanging cymbal. And nobody wants to go around a clanging cymbal. We want to be peace. We want to be soothing in the ears of the world. Could we carry such a peace that just by being close to us, people start to going again, talking about the ruach, the spirit of God, the breath of life that emanates from the inside of us. What would happen if you were a breath of fresh air to the world around you? But that only comes by figuring it out here amongst ourselves. That whenever there's something that's coming into conflict with our unity, that we come together and we say, let's fight for one another by binding ourselves together in peace. Because as soon as we do that, we can then begin to make peace in the world. How do we do this? We, like Jesus, must sacrifice our comfort to deal with tension. Peacekeeping is keeping conflict at bay. So it's like if I'm going into a place where there's like, so what did Pastor do whenever he came to Fayetteville, North Carolina? He saw a problem. There wasn't multiracial churches in Fayetteville at that time. The only other multiracial church that had ever been in Fayetteville was actually like in the 1800s, right? In the 1800s. So we are the answer to prayers that were prayed in that church. But what Pastor did not do is say, you know what? Black people and white people don't get along. So what we'll do is all the white people will sit over there and all the black people will sit over there and we'll keep them in the room, but we'll keep them apart. Oh, we can keep the peace that way. We'll put a wall up and we can say we're a multiracial church because black people sit in their section and white people sit in their section and Hispanic people sit in their section. We don't have to deal with one another and we can keep the illusion of peace or we can deal with the tension and make peace. Keeping problems at bay, sweeping things under the rug is a recipe for disaster. What if Jesus just would have kept on sweeping the issue of sin underneath the rug? It says in Ephesians 2, 13 through 14, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He himself is our peace who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Jesus removed himself from comfort, came to earth and dealt with the tension that existed between us and God and us and one another. He didn't avoid the problem. He was not passive aggressive at all. He aggressively attacked the thing, not the people, the thing that separated us from God. And so if we want peace, we've got to separate the thing. You know, if Jesus really, really wanted to make this easy, he could have destroyed the earth, made a new one, and never had a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You just eliminate the problem. What he did was he came down, he got in the tension of the conflict, and he dealt with the wall of separation, which was sin, not people. So if we want to deal with the walls that separate us, we've got to stop dealing with the people and start attacking the sin. And here, listen to me, before you say amen, I want to say that we should start with the sin in our own lives first. What did Jesus say? We got people, you know what we're walking around like right now? We got, y'all mute this so it doesn't do feedback. So Jesus said, how can you address the speck in your neighbor's eye when you got a log in your own eye? And we're just walking around whacking people with the log that's in our eye. And we're hurting other people because we're trying to deal with the speck in our neighbor's eye when we need to pull that daggone log out of our eye. And truly, truly, truly make it to where now I can come to you and I can honestly say that I've dealt with myself. And so now I can come to you and say, hey, and listen, it looks it. When you've dealt with the log in your eye, you start talking with compassion and empathy to the people with specks in their eyes. And it's so much easier to keep the peace that way. to make peace that way. I'm on Facebook, right? God forbid. The devil's playground. We're on there. We're scrolling. Oh, look at that article that brother so-and-so posted. I start to feel anger rising up on the inside of me, and I'm getting ready to type something, and then all of a sudden, why do I feel this way? Not why did he post that? Why am I angry? Why am I upset? Why am I frustrated? Why did I read that article and then all of a sudden start speaking disrespectfully to my wife? Oh, because that must have scratched a scab in my own life that started to reveal something that was a little bit deeper than what was actually going on in that post. And if we would just engage with the Holy Spirit and look inwardly first and foremost and say, God, start with me. Me first. Jesus, me first. And then whenever you allow God to deal with you in that way, whenever you go to maintain the bond of unity and peace with your brother, you won't be talking to them out of your own hurt, out of your own security, out of your own frustrations, out of your own sin. You can communicate out of a place of peace between you and God, which will then impart peace between you and your brother. And then you can go out into the rest of the world and make peace. The word peacemaker actually holds within it the idea that we bring people to the table and we impart peace from ourselves to them so that they can have peace with one another. And so if I start with me, then I'm maintaining that peace that I need to impart and make in the world around me. Don't shy away from the tension. But also don't run attacking the person that brought the tension up. Look inward, then outward. Last thing as we close up. Second thing on how to be a peacemaker. We have to dedicate ourselves to true kingdom peace. True kingdom peace. As I stated before, true kingdom peace isn't dependent on the things of this world, so it isn't brought about the way the world brings about peace. The peace of God isn't ushered in through political, militant, or economic powers. In John 18:36, in the NIV, Jesus was speaking to Caesar Augustus Pontius Pilate. Wow. He was speaking to Pontius Pilate and he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." We cannot make the mistake of thinking that the battle for the peace of God can be won in physical arenas. It manifests in physical arenas, but it starts here. It starts with us imparting our peace to the world around us. That's the beginning place. We can vote until the dogs come home, y'all. But true kingdom peace. Listen, you can go ahead, George. We can't make the mistake that the Jews made with Jesus. So they had this hope of a messianic savior that would come and abolish their slavery. They had this hope of a messianic king that would come and destroy the governments of the world so that his government could come and reign. And so Jesus doesn't leave a throne to come and sit on a throne. in the earth. Jesus leaves a throne, is born in a manger, is humble and compassionate and empathetic and kind and gentle. And he goes about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. That was his kingdom. That was the peace that Jesus brought. And Jesus has been speaking to me a lot this week, and he's been telling me, he said, my people are still expecting a militant Messiah. When I am still kind, I am still lowly, and I am still bringing about my kingdom the same way I did whenever I was on the earth. We don't accomplish God things the world's way. We accomplish God's things God's way. And so as long as we remain dependent on the things and systems of this world to be in charge of our peace, we, number one, we will never be at peace. Number two, we will never walk in peace with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And number three, we will never make peace. But whenever we realize that peace is from God, and that it dwells richly on the inside of our hearts, and that it is worth protecting amongst ourselves, then we will usher in the kingdom of God, the God kind of peace that changes nations, that changes communities, that changes workplaces, that changes families, that changes marriages, that changes everything around me. When we seek the peace of God this way, we will never be disappointed. But children of God, listen to me. It is time for us to become reliant on the Word of God and stop mixing man's wisdom with God's wisdom. We've got to stop mixing the world's systems with God's system. We've got to trust that the Word of God is enough. It is enough. We've got to come out of this place where it's like, well, it's so naive to believe that prayer would be the thing that changes things. Oh my goodness. When you hold your Bible in your hands, you are holding so much power that if you would just walk in its way, it's not just a devotional, y'all. It is a way of life. So whenever we look at the Beatitudes, like Matthew 5, when Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called kingdom. God, that is real, y'all. That's the truth. And in the most humble way that I know how to say this, I have lived it. And that's why I'm passionate about it. I'm passionate about it because me and my wife, we live this thing. We've seen it. And we've seen it in places like Mexico and Nicaragua where the government's not helping out. I've seen kingdom come with my own eyes. And it came through prayer, and it came through fasting, and it came through loving one another, and it came through making allowances for one another's faults, and it came through believing the Word of God is the only way. We get so excited. The promises of God are yes and amen when it's for ourselves. But whenever we start thinking about changing the world, no, we got to vote. We got to do all this other. We got to lobby. We got to go out. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying that's way down the line from what God has told us to do. That's why Jesus asked me a couple of weeks ago. He said, son, if things went haywire in this nation, what would you do? if it seemed like things weren't changing at all, would we still believe? Would we still trust? Would we still fight for love? Would we still fight for unity? Would we still fight for the things that God desires for us to carry about? Would we still lean on Him? Would we stop trusting in the world's systems, or would we start looking to Him and saying, God, You are the author, You are the finisher, You are my source, You are everything that I need. And then to look around at the people that are connected to us in community and say, You are what I need too. Because it's just like Jesus told me this morning. We can either wait for the day that we realize that we need each other and it's too late, or we can know right now, right now, right now, I need you. I need you. You need the person sitting next to you. You need that person on Facebook that doesn't think just like you. You need that person that lives down the street from you with that Biden or that Trump sign in their yard. You need them. We need one another. Because we are world changers. We hold the power of the gospel. We have the power of the kingdom on the inside of us. And we can prosper as kingdom citizens of heaven no matter what. When we rely on this. When we walk in the way. Come on, stand to your feet if you can, if you're able. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on and just lift your hands in this moment. Jesus, help us to walk in the way. Holy Spirit, teacher, helper. We let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Let's just collectively as one body say, I surrender to Your peace. Come on, just let Him minister to your heart. If you need to keep on saying that, just say it. I surrender to Your peace. I surrender to Your peace. Say this with me. Say, Father, make me a peacemaker. Come on, just one more time. Say, Father, make me a peacemaker. I feel like the Lord is saying that as a sign to some of you, that people that you lost relationship with in the past are going to begin to call you this week out of the blue as a sign to you. And God, as that begins to happen, I just declare peace. Peace. Come on, let's just collectively into this room, let's impart our peace right now. Just speak it out. Say, peace. Peace. Even in your own life, say, peace to my family. Peace be to my family. Peace be to my friendships. Peace be to everyone around me. Peace be to America. Peace be to Fayetteville. Peace be to Cumberland County. Peace be to America. On, just wait on him a little bit longer. I feel like he's just doing things in hearts right now. Peace. Overwhelming peace. Yes, Jesus. I just want to pray a specific prayer right now. Peace over marriages. But even where there has been infidelity and adultery, peace. I speak peace over every marriage. Healing in your marriage. I speak peace over parents that have estranged relationships with their children right now. I even feel there are some parents in this room that need to call and repent for saying one thing in church and living another way in the home. Even if you've grown since then, but I just feel there's some of you that need to call your children and say, please forgive me for acting one way in church and living another way in the house. And I just feel like in that moment, whenever you say that, you might not see an immediate change, but there's going to be life poured out. God, we ask for the humility that it takes to live in peace with one another. Pride be banished from our hearts. Say this with me. Say, pride, I rebuke you. Say it one more time. Say, pride, I rebuke you. Jesus. Thank you for it, God. Now, just in this atmosphere, if you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, He is the Prince of Peace. And you cannot have peace without Him. You might be watching us online and say, I need Jesus. I need the Prince of Peace. All we're going to do is we're going to pray this prayer. And if you pray this prayer with me, if you're watching online, I want you to text, I got saved to 97,000. And if you're in this room, there's going to be some people down front after service. They're going to pray with you. They're going to give you a booklet. They're going to talk with you about how to engage here with us in the church. But if you want to give your life to Jesus and have the Prince of Peace rule in your hearts, I just want you to say this prayer with me. We're all going to say it together as one family. Say, Father, I thank you that your life is better than my life. I ask that you would come in and give me peace. I confess Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. I thank you that right now I am your child. You are my Father. I receive your life and your peace in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some praise this morning.